Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am the show's frontman and main host, the Reverend Godfather. This past weekend, I was at the event Mellowween in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, at the venue, the Doghouse, which was a great place, and it was a great event. I was so happy that Matt Burns and Mel Heflin invited us there to join the event and the festivities. And while I was there, I managed to interview the lovely, the talented actress and model herself, Mel Heflin, which is what's going to be the main part of this episode, and I'll let the interview speak for itself, and here it is.
Hello, everyone. It's the Reverend Godfather here for the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. I am here with...
Hi, I'm Mel Heflin.
The main person we're here, in essence, the whole Mellowween is about. First off, why the fundraiser?
Well, recently there was a big tragedy in my life. My mother was murdered.
And I'm so sorry. Condolences and so forth and so on. I didn't... It's, you know, like I say, if you didn't want to, you know, cover it, saying it on air for the sake of record.
No, it's okay. I'm beginning to be able to open up about it.
Okay. So it's just for to help cover expenditures and so forth and so on?
There were a lot of expenses, and I was out of work for so long because I was taking care of her in the hospital, and I wasn't able to work for a long time. A long time afterwards, starting to attend therapy, and I'm still in therapy. There's been many, many things that have been going on.
For the sake of the show, is there a spot or a place that, is there an ongoing GoFundMe or something like that to help?
Currently, I believe it's put under Jeanette Heflin's memorial expenses on GoFundMe.
Just so fans, just in case whoever's listening could at least help out and be generous if they can. So, other than this, what do you? You're a screen queen in a way. You're a model, amongst other things. Tell listeners a little bit about that. What it's like for you, your experiences.
Well, I do a little bit of everything. I've been in the industry, actually, since I was 13 years old, starting with runway shows. And then when I turned 19, I started getting naked for movies. And it's expanded ever since there, doing a little bit of everything. I am now in the chocolatiering business, making life-casted chocolate replicas of my nipples, premiering this weekend.
And I saw at your booth that you have some sitting there. What has been the response for at least that?
I don't think that people think that I'm serious. Some of the raunchy things that I've done in movies and life-casted copies of my nipples in vanilla candy form is not really the raunchiest thing I've ever done. So people can't really believe it, which is strange for me.
Because you brought it up in reference to, I want to be at least kind in reference to that aspect. In reference to getting nude in front of either a still camera or a video camera, what has the response from some people? Because I know there is some love and there is some hate. What has been the viewpoints on that from others?
Well, I really let the hate roll off my back like water off a duck. So I really only pay attention to all the love I get. But sometimes people like to love a little bit too hard, and I get some kind of creepy messages. But, you know, all the same, it's still love.
So is there more creepy factor? You know, the let's say the guy in the trench coat aspect of things than the annoying type of deal, or...
I mean, as long as it's not an unsolicited dick pic with no words attached, I really don't mind. Every now and then I get dick pics in my email from my website that's like, hey, I really enjoy seeing you naked, so maybe you enjoy seeing me naked. Here you go. So it's kind of a compliment, you know, just the same as I'd like to see a pair of women's boobs in my email. It's like the same
thing. I was about to ask that because there has been one YouTuber who has tried some of the more feminine YouTube channel. She edits the videos, of course, for YouTube, but she's gotten the female equivalent, let's say that, of genitalia pics, and it's kind of, has the first time you got something like that kind of like, oh really? Or
I think the first time that it, like, it didn't really shock me, but I think my third or fourth convention, somebody actually asked me to sign their boobs. I was absolutely honored. They were pierced nipples, and I was like, whoa, this is fantastic.
Is it doing, I don't know how to approach this question, is doing something like that, choosing to appear nude, was it the first time a comfortable affair or an awkward affair?
Well, when I was 13 doing the runway shows, us models would all have, like, within a minute to change in the back room, getting ready to do the runways. So when I turned 18 and immediately started doing nude photo shoots, it was really no big deal because I'd already been naked 100 times in the back room at a runway show. And then it very easily integrated over to movies. I really don't see a difference. It's me whether I have clothes on or not. So it doesn't bother me personally. I know some people think that it's a big difference, but personally, doesn't bother me at all.
I don't mean to dwell on that subject. Is it the reason why I'm bringing it up? I'm trying to be the devil's advocate for it because there are a lot of mostly the female side of thing. Even though there's a lot of women that embrace how you feel that if you're comfortable doing such a thing that you should, it's okay. But there's many and many women out there that say, in essence, how dare you do that because you're, in essence, becoming a piece of meat in a way.
I definitely see what they're saying, but at the same time, they're comfortable not taking off their clothes. I'm comfortable taking off my clothes. So I would hope that they would give me the same respect as I respect them.
Fair enough. The aspect of what has your enjoyment of being an actress in mostly B-movies? The genre, the independent type of movies. Is there more freedom to work, or what's the allure that, in reference to as an actress in such movies, the allure that the independent genre has to fans?
Well, to myself, I don't feel myself unless I'm on set. It's just such a huge part of me and my life that I just feel complete when I'm on a movie set and getting to create and spend time with the people who think the same way that I do. And I am completely honored that there's fans out there of the movie companies and of me and the movies that, you know, enjoy what I do, because I most certainly enjoy it myself.
So, that, like I said, the reason why I'm a fan of the independent genre, because there's more original stories that are out there, more freedom for fans, out where nowadays in Hollywood it's got to be, I'm not knocking the superhero genre, but it's the remake, the redo, the reimagining, let's up it, let's change it, let's modernize it. But with the independent movie scene, there's always something new, something out there. Being in that genre, is there any tropes or things that you see a lot of independent filmmakers doing that seem tiresome?
I mean, personally, therefore, I don't pay a lot of attention to mainstream films most of the time, so there for the longest time, I thought all the remakes were because of the writer's strike.
Now that the writer's strike might be rehappening again, we might be seeing a whole mess of remakes.
Well, long live indie. I don't think the writer's strike isn't going to affect indie films. The biggest thing that I see that's a little tiresome, and the only reason I say this is because I collected, I think it was 27 ticks over the course of 4 hours. I don't like shooting out in the woods. Like, sure, it's easy, it's cheaper, and I understand you gotta go as low budget as you can with certain things, but locations are so easy to find. I appreciate filming in the woods, but I just get covered in ticks, so it's like, can we limit those to like only like 4 or 5 a year?
Or how about a blanket or something to cut back on the ticks?
But,
what has been the most Let's split up the question to two parts. What has been the most memorable experience, and what has not been the most memorable experience doing these type of films?
The most memorable experience, I don't know. Each film has a little piece that's close to my heart. No matter what film it was, they all take a piece of my soul with them, and I take a piece of the soul of the film inside my heart. But the non-memorable parts, every now and then there's just one jackass.
That be the case, what has been the most fun in filming these type of movies, and what's usually the hardest thing in filming these type of movies?
I like to get as ridiculous and campy as possible. Running around naked from a monster, covered in glitter blood, anything that I can take away from, and just scream out nipples or whatever, just to be absolutely ridiculous. That's, you can't really do that in everyday life.
Is there with a lot of well-known independent filmmakers out there and lesser-known, are there any particular independent filmmakers out there that you'd be automatically on board to be with and work with?
I mean, I think that actually happened to me recently. Beelzebub was casting recently, and I jumped at the chance, and we recently filmed Dick Nato, and it was such an experience and such a good time. I was so happy that that finally happened, that I think it's been, I've known him since 2009, and I finally got to work on one of his films just a few weeks ago.
So, I'm not familiar with that particular director. I grew up probably a generation prior to him coming into, meaning that I'm more familiar with Troma than him. So I'm not going to knock anything he's done or he's doing. Would you work for Troma or Lloyd Kaufman if he came knocking at your door, or have that opportunity?
I mean, I have actually worked on a Troma film, the Grindsploitation movie. I was in the stripper ripper segment as the playgirl.
So did you have, I know we at the show, we've met Lloyd in the past, and he seemed, in every interview that I've seen with him, he seems that way in person. Did you get that same experience with Lloyd, that he's also this as much as the businessman as he is the crazy entertainer?
I actually didn't get a chance to work with Lloyd. He wasn't there on set that day. I think it was one of those submission type things. I don't know too terribly much about it. I've been wanting to see it, but I don't have a subscription to their website. But I am in the film Grindsploitation.
So, is there? Not that I'm running out of questions. This is. What's the easy? I'm repeating myself. It's been a long week for myself too. I do sympathize for you. My father passed away last month. I'm not getting into it on the show. So, when you have a busy month and like yourself, things go down. You tend to forget. So, what's the easiest part of doing what you do?
I think it's all the love. I had no expectation or anything of, they contacted me and they were like, can we set up Halloween Fest for you? And I wasn't even sure what was going to happen, but I was like, the love just came in immediately from all the tragedy that was surrounding me, and it really kept me going there for a long time. So, I've given so much to this community, my pieces of my heart and pieces of my soul, and to receive it back full force, like 100 times, has been absolutely incredible.
Just one of the brief things, what do you have to say to any cautionary words or things that you might want to say to any women or gals that might want to get into the business that you are in, that to stray away from the possible dangers or the predators that might be in the business? Not the nice, there are for everything, every nice Lloyd Kaufman and people that you work with, I'm sure there's predators. In that, what cautionary tales or cautionary words that you would have to give to the young women that want to break into this?
If the email sounds too good to be true, it is. Run.
Also, I'm going to add something that I'm sure Mel would agree to. Do not do anything that you're not comfortable with. because many models that I've spoken to who do what Mel does have stated that if you do not wish to go fully or partially nude in any way, shape, or form, please do not do that. But if you are comfortable, please do your homework. Would you agree to at least that, doing your homework with the person you are taking photos with or be that particular model for?
What I would say is, if it's not agreed upon before the day of the shoot, don't do it. Like, turn around, leave. Don't force yourself into anything that you're not comfortable with. If somebody you're shooting with says, oh, take your top off, and that wasn't agreed upon, don't do it. That's your right. It's your body.
And that's just one of the messages I wanted, because with everything that we said in the show, just wanted to at least get that across to whatever young women that are out there that might be getting into the modeling realm or the same thing that you are, at least have some cautionary out there. And where can we find you online, with a website, Twitter, or what have you?
Twitter, Instagram, all those things are at Mel Heflin, M-E-L-H-E-F-L-I-N, and it's also facebook.com/Mel Heflin.
And I'll thank you for this interview. I'll put the links in our description, which and at least on your Facebook page or Twitter, I'll contact you once this is posted, which will be probably Monday.
Excellent. Thank you.
Again, that was Mel Heflin. All her links to her social media, including her the GoFundMe, which is still active, will be in the show's description. And I thank her very much for the interview and having allowing me. Big Candy was there having a booth. So from the bottom of our hearts, I wish thank her, wish her the best, and thank her for allowing us to be at their event, and which was a great event, by the way. More on that when we do our hostful. Well, you should hear a little bit more in the coming week. So either way, I do thank her and Matt Burns for putting the show on. Matt was the big brain behind this. So either way, subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play Music. If you're using a Apple-based device, i.e. An iPhone, a iPod, or a AirPad of any sorts running iOS 8 or higher, you are able to use Apple's podcast app. Or if you use an Android device, you are able to use the Google Play Music. If you want, you can find all our episodes on our main website, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. You can email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We are on Facebook as well, which is facebook.com/thelongcoatmafiapodcast. Our Twitter and Instagram is both the same handle, which is Longcoat Mafia. So you can always email us, message us. We will read those messages on air. So we are fan friendly, and I hope you enjoyed this interview. If you have any further questions in reference to Mel or the show, please let us know, and we'll get back to you as soon as we are able to. So as well, like Mel's fan pages and hit her up on Twitter to see what she's up to. Can't thank her enough. Follow her. So either way, take care, guys. See you next week and next episode.
It's shocking, humiliating, and it's unacceptable.
Oh, come on. It's a classic. The only show in the world that gets better the more it's rerun.
Do I get a choice?
No! No!
Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Okay, people, move along. There's nothing to see here.